You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Yeah! Scrooge and Dewey, taking on the world one hole at a time!
There you have it. Another brash young upstart, destined to surpass his aging mentor.
Is the commentary still necessary?
It helps me feel in control during a frankly insane situation.
I like talking this way because it makes everything sound important. Baloney, trampoline.
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for the DuckTales Season 1, Episode 12, episode The Missing Links of Moorshire. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I am your other host, Curtis Findlay.
I see how many times I can fit the word episode into that intro, huh?
a few more times, please. Yeah.
Wow, man, 2 weeks in a row, we got some pretty stellar episodes of DuckTales. Wishful thinking there. Another great episode. Although, I mean, like, I'm going to have some criticisms, but definitely not of the performance or writing in this one, because I think that the writing was some pretty good. There were some pretty funny moments in this episode. But before we jump into The Missing Links of Moorshire, do you want to talk about some news?
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had kind of a news segment. There hasn't been a lot of reason to update people about the show itself since we had such a long hiatus. But we do have lots of merch that's come out. Mm-hmm. We've been seeing more and more DuckTales merch, including the Disney Store now has some plushies or some stuffies of the nephews and Webby.
Okay.
What else have I seen? Some T-shirts.
Yep.
And we're starting to see more like children's apparel and that kind of stuff with just like stock art and that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Like on the DuckTales side, there's been a pretty good push in the last couple months of merchandise and that sort of thing. But the other thing, like Funko having gotten their hands on that Disney Afternoon license, they're just kind of going crazy. They've put out so much stuff. Obviously, the Funko Pops, which we've talked about previously, and there's more coming from that, some of these things that are already kind of out there. I know I've got Darkwing, and I've got Gizmo Duck, and I have a Gizmo Duck for you, Curtis.
Nice.
Because they were not easy to come by for those of us in Canada, because they're a Target exclusive, but... and there's some new ones coming. Have the Gargoyles ones come out yet, or they're kind of
no.
on the way, right?
Yeah, they're on the way. Yeah. That's really exciting because you don't get a whole lot of Gargoyles merch.
No,
but the one that's really exciting to me is that I believe it's a Hot Topic exclusive.
Okay.
Powerline from Goofy Movie. That actually is a pop. The Goofy Movie got no merch even when it was in the theater.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool to see that here.
Goofy Movie is funny because it kind of, by virtue of the fact that it is a movie, that it's an animated film, it's not really considered part of Disney Afternoon, but it is kind of the Goof Troop movie, but it's not really the Goof Troop movie because it's not, it doesn't really follow some of the rules of Goof Troop, but it is very much... the same characters, just in a different kind of context. So it's funny, in the midst of all of that success that they were having with Disney Afternoon and with those characters doing a Goofy movie, that movie never really, like, it just, it was not merchandise. You're right. Like, it was just, it just kind of came out and was in theaters, but I think I is a fan favorite of a lot of people in our generation.
Yes, definitely, for the music especially.
Yeah. And those Powerline songs, it's like, come on, those are pretty awesome.
Oh, they're so good. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool. That's Funko's also put out a few things that are not the pop vinyls, but they've put out actual action figures that we talked about before. I've got my Darkwing Duck figure from that line. And then I was just recently out with Kara, and we were at the toy store, and they had a plush Disney Afternoon characters. So there was Chip, Dale, Scrooge McDuck, and Darkwing. So we picked up Darkwing.
Nice. So that's great.
Yeah, our Darkwing collection is growing pretty quickly. Awesome. Which is really cool, because for so long, obviously, there was nothing. And, you know, we scour the parks when we're there, right? For anything Disney Afternoon. And yep. Now, if you go to Disneyland, if you go to any of the Disney resorts, there's plenty of stuff. And they've done some fan events recently as well, like some Disney Afternoon fan events. And I think it feels to me like they're sort of testing the waters and seeing what kind of interest there is in these characters and whether or not, you know, which ones are worth bringing back. And obviously, we've seen with Darkwing's appearance in DuckTales, there's a pretty big interest in that character. I can only speak anecdotally for our own downloads. I haven't looked at the ratings for last week's episode. But if our download numbers are any indicator of a spike in ratings, there's a lot of people interested in last week's episode and us talking about Darkwing and Gizmo Duck. So yeah, like those are two characters that I think are a pretty big deal to a lot of people. And the great thing, and then obviously the reason why you and I are really into this stuff and do the podcast, is that we love this stuff from when we were kids, but we've also got kids now, and they are falling in love with these same characters. So I think that there's a really yep. cool aspect there that I'm sure Disney wants to capitalize on. After watching the episode, I think I said this last week, I Darkwing Duck announces himself as Darkwing Duck, and Kara just would not stop. Darkwing Duck, Duck. Actually, she says it more like Duckwing Duck, but she right. just like, she's just going on and on and on. So when we saw that Darkwing at the toy store, she was like, Duckwing Duck. So perfect. We had to get it.
Yeah.
So
it's a show that I can watch with my kids, because, you know, yeah. they watch a lot of cartoons. I don't care about Pokemon or like the new Boss Baby TV show they really like. And, you know, there's all of these things, but DuckTales is one that, that mm-hmm. I sit down and watch with them, and I totally enjoy it. So it's nice. And I think Disney's really, they're realizing how popular it is too. Cause I don't know how well they thought this was going to be before, because there wasn't any merchandise to coincide with the release of the show. Mm-hmm. It's only now coming out now. And now Scrooge and Launchpad are walk-around characters at the park now. Like, they brought those characters back.
Okay.
And Scrooge is in his red outfit.
Nice.
When he was a character before, he was in his blue outfit.
Yeah.
But now he's red because, of course, the TV show is red. And you know that's important because the amount of Disney TV characters that appear in the parks is very minimal. I think it's just like Phineas and Ferb, and that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, if you go over to California Adventure, I don't know what it's like at Disney World so much, but I know, and I'm sure that there's stuff at Disney World, but...
There's a Playhouse Junior street where they all kind of, those ones all...
Yeah,
but just like walking around, you don't see. Yeah, in
California
the
Adventure,
shows.
They do. They have the Disney Junior theater or whatever it is, where you can always go and see Phineas and Ferb and all sorts of
Sophia the First
and all those sorts of characters.
The Neverland Pirates.
Yeah, but when they do the Pixar parade in California Adventure, there are Pixar characters, but then they'll also have some of the TV characters like Phineas and Ferb and that sort of thing as well. So they definitely have a bit of a presence, but it's not as it's certainly not as heavy as Mickey or Donald or Goofy or any of those characters.
Well, and it's just like you don't see anything from Star in the Forces of Evil or Wander Over Yonder or, you know, but what's the one with Weird Al? Milo.
Yeah, whatever that's called.
Milo Murphy's Law.
Yeah, yeah.
But DuckTales has their characters. And mind you, these are pre-existing outfits, so maybe that's just easy to throw them into the park. But to have them actually there walking around shows that they have some faith in this show.
Yeah.
Or they're at least happy with the results of what's going on so far.
I think it's working out pretty well for them. I think moving it from Disney XD to Disney Channel is an indicator of that. And hopefully that means that we're going to get more cool stuff to spend money on and support the show, as well as obviously more of the series itself. I don't know. Have they announced a season two yet? They haven't talked about it getting a season two, I don't think.
I don't remember. I would have seen a press release or something, I would imagine, but
yeah. Yeah. I don't think that they've formally announced it, but you know that it's gotta be coming. Probably because we're kind of just in the middle of the first season is 25 episodes. And obviously we're not even halfway through that yet. We're almost at the halfway mark, I guess.
Yeah.
Technically next week will be halfway, but, I mean, theoretically, IMDb has these episodes listed as one a week all the way through August. I highly doubt that. I guarantee there will be another break in here somewhere. But yeah, I'm sure that as we get closer to the end of the season, they'll talk about a season two. Because I do think they're having a pretty good success with it.
The next season would already have to be in production if they want to have it to come out in September.
Oh well, they don't expect them to follow the regular season schedules with this stuff. They never did with Tron Legacy, not Tron Legacy, Tron Uprising. Yeah, Tron Uprising or Gravity Falls or any of those types of shows. And it's like them. I Cartoon Network doesn't really follow that either. With the exception of a few shows, they kind of just like stuff just kind of comes out when it comes out. It's like, it's the final season of Adventure Time, and the final season of Adventure Time has been going on for like, it feels like a year and a half now. Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it doesn't all come out at once, 'cause they kind of just put episodes out as chunks of them already. The only thing I feel like, on Cartoon Network or Disney XD that's gotten proper television treatment, and even then it's kind of not the greatest, it has been Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels, where they've been given like,
that's a different audience though.
Yeah
Where, well, they kind of need that kind of
Lucasfilm kind of calls the shots on that to a certain degree as well. So it's a little bit of a different beast, and it's a little bit more higher profile. Do you want to get into the episode?
Yeah, sure, let's do that. This cool. is now they I've been pronouncing this the Missing Links of Morshire, but in the episode they just keep on calling it Morshire. So So I guess that's probably some sort of Scottish or Welsh pronunciation. So we'll go with that, Missing Links of Morshire. And the episode description is McDuck and Glomgold play a competitive game of golf, but when they are trapped in an enchanted golf course, they must work together to escape. And that is pretty much it. Now, this is a plot that's very similar to... Oh, sorry, let me just get the rest of the details out of the way. So the air date, May 18th, 2018. Now, this episode actually first aired on Disney Channel Scandinavia back in March 21st. But this is May 18th is the North American release date. And it was written by Ben Joseph and directed by Matthew Humphreys. So we've already seen in this season, and we're not even halfway through, a couple of competitive contests that have some sort of supernatural quality to them. One of them was in House of the Lucky Gander, where Donald and Gladstone face off in the casino. Another one was in The Spear of Selene, when Donald and Storkules face off in a competitive game of whatever, just what a track and field it seemed. And then we have this one here where they're playing golf. And I felt like this was a DuckTales episode that was unlike any other DuckTales episode in both this series and the other series.
Hmm.
Because it was calm for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's golf. And that's kind of a calm sport. So the episode had, like, there were moments of tension. But the overall feeling I had watching it was, this is kind of like... We're taking a break after the wild-packed episode that we just had in Beware the Buddy System.
Yeah, this is definitely less adventure and a little bit more comedy, which it's nice to kind of alternate back and forth, I think, last week's episode. Because I actually ended up rewatching last week's episode again right after watching this one, because we finished it and Kara was like, more DuckTales.
Oh, I know. And my boys are like that too.
Yeah. So we watched it again. I was like, okay. I was kind of like, well, let's just watch the Darkwing part. Right. And I hit play. And then before I knew it, it was the end of the episode. I was okay. Watching them back to back, it was very much, Beware the Buddy System was a very action packed episode. There was a lot going on there and it moves very quickly. But this one was a little bit of a slower episode. Not that that's a bad thing. It just kind of slows the pace down a little bit. Although there's the great montage of all of the golf in the middle.
That was really good. Yeah.
But I noticed like this episode is much more focused on the gags, on the jokes than Beware the Buddy System was. Beware the Buddy System was very much a character centered story around Launchpad. And this one, although it definitely has the through line of Scrooge and Dewey. No, not Dewey. Yeah.
Yeah, Dewey.
Dewey?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scrooge and Dewey. Which is, it's very interesting. They've kind of paired up some of the characters to a certain degree. And it feels like we've gotten... Now, I think this is like the third episode that's very focused on Scrooge and Dewey and them being sort of having sort of similar personality traits. And then obviously we've had Louie and Launchpad paired up a couple of times as well.
It was Dewey and Launchpad in the last episode.
In the last episode. But there was an episode Mount Everest
the snow fever,
was
Snow Fever was Louie.
Yeah,
but also then Scrooge also in A Great Dime Chase, Scrooge and Louie paired up. That was kind of their episode together.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because they're opposites. Whereas Dewey and Scrooge are very similar.
Yeah.
So there's conflict in that in both of those situations.
Yeah, because I'm thinking back to the series premiere, right? In Day Trip of Doom, when they're in Atlantis, or I guess no, not Day Trip of Doom. What's the Atlantis one called?
To and from Atlantis or something like
that? Yeah, something like that. When they're in Atlantis, that's Dewey and Scrooge and sort of, you know, them being very similar, but Scrooge trying to teach Dewey something. And then in this one, they almost flip that a little bit to where it's like, okay, Scrooge has something to learn from Dewey this time.
It's the same thing because in that one, in Escape to and from Atlantis, Dewey is, he just goes for it.
Yeah.
Kind of throws caution to the wind to get to the objective. Scrooge is telling him to hold back. But yeah, and this one turns it on its head. Dewey's still kind of just hitting the ball wildly, and Scrooge is trying to teach him, but then ends up realizing that he should just kind of go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Cool. Let's get into our top moments. What was your first one you want to talk about?
There were a number of running gags. Like you were saying, this has a very big focus on the gags. There were a number of running gags. One was the commentary with Dewey and Launchpad. Just Glomgold himself was a running gag. And I also loved Louis the caddy.
Yeah.
Constantly asking Glomgold for money in order to do things. I thought that was such a good move because it's totally Louis's character.
Yeah.
And it was just funny every time, just out of the off panel, you see a hand kind of just stick in there. It's like, money? I thought that was great.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely, they milked that one quite a bit, but it was one of those things where every time it happened, you knew it was coming, but it was still funny. Right up until the end when he's like, you're fired right after you help me with this. And then he's like, yeah, okay. And he reaches and takes the dollar.
The funniest part is though, that, anytime that Glomgold wanted Louis to help him with something, like he's fallen off the cliff, he would pay him the money. And the only thing Louis would do is hand him a club,
hand him a golf
because
club.
That's all he is. He wouldn't help him over the cliff or whatever. Yeah. He just hands him a club.
Yeah, no. That was a pretty good gag. Kind of along those same lines, Glomgold, right at the beginning, when they do the coin toss, and the commentary over top of it, it's like, and they're starting the coin toss, and Glomgold is clearly pulling out his trick coin that is heads on both sides, and now he's tossed the coin in the air, and he's lost because he called tails, and now he's proceeding to fruitlessly throwing the coin into the ocean. It takes him like three times, and then at the last one he like falls over. Oh my god, it was so good, just with the commentary and everything, and like the way that they framed it far off, and used just sort of like very simple animation, but it's just playing so well. I thought they just did such a great job with that moment in particular that I wanted to shout it out.
Yeah they did. I really also liked Webby. She didn't really have a big role in this episode.
Yeah.
She was another running gag, just with her horn that she kept on blowing.
Yeah.
But the funniest one is when the Kelpies first appear, and she gets all giddy and she says, "Animals wearing clothes."
It's like, yeah.
That's the funniest thing for her to say, because they are all animal wearing clothes as well. But she just liked seeing the other animals wearing clothes or something. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. Webby doesn't have a lot of moments in this episode, but the ones that she does have, she's got some pretty good jokes. Cool. I particularly enjoyed the moment where Launchpad's pretty funny all throughout. Big surprise.
Yes.
But his one moment where they just kind of break the commentary and he's just like, "I like talking this way because it makes everything sound important. Bologna trampoline." It's just the delivery on it is just so good. And I that in the booth they probably did, there was probably something written on the page, but Beck Bennett, I would imagine, being a sketch comic, I probably gave them a few to choose from. And I would love to see like the alternate takes for that, and what other words he put together for that. But it's just such a I really like how, I'm gonna coin a phrase here, self-unaware Launchpad is, because it's like he has these moments, he's so out of it, like he's so out to lunch all the time, and then he has these moments where he really acknowledges just how stupid he is as a character. It's that sort of like in last week's episode, when Fenton refers to him as a savant, and it's like, cause he really is, like he is actually a genius. And that was highlighted so much last week. And so it's funny to go from that, from like his ability to, just, it doesn't matter what it is, he can crash it, but crashing it is actually a good thing when it's Launchpad. Just that incredible ability. But then to flip it this week to the just completely hapless, idiotic running gag with him of like everything that he says is basically pointless and he clearly doesn't understand golf and he's just the worst commentator ever. But I love the way that they set it up at the beginning with Huey, where he's like, and for some reason I have to have a co-commentator in all of this. He kind of steals this episode for me. For the most part, there's maybe one character I think that upstages him this week, but I'll let you get your last one in before I talk about that.
Okay. Well, I really liked the climax of this when they're in the last hole and the fog's turning everybody to stone and it's going up this totem pole of ducks all the way to Louie. And the best part of this is when I was watching this with my boys is they were on the edge of their seats wondering what was going to happen. And just like it's funny having a reaction like that to an animated show where, you know, well, like any TV, it's the outcome is scripted.
Yeah.
But animated in particular, because it's, you don't even have the illusion of it being live television with like real actors or anything like that. It's definitely fake, but they still didn't know what the outcome was going to be and were so relieved when they all got back to normal again. And I just love that. I like to have that sort of, to be able to portray that and build that tension to the point where these, you know, a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old are so into it like that. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. It's funny because I know that obviously you and I are both adults and there's a lot of adults listening to the podcast. And I know that in the Facebook groups and stuff like that we're a part of, there's a lot of sort of high-minded analysis that goes on with these shows. But this is a great reminder that although I'm sure you and I both saw exactly what was coming in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
This show it's DuckTales, okay? It's anthropomorphic talking ducks. It's a Disney show, and it's about silly adventure and fun. It is for kids, and even though you and I might see something coming from a mile away, that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad because we're not really the audience. There's some jokes in there for us so that we can enjoy it as well. But the audience is ultimately kids under 13.
And they haven't seen this type of conclusion happen over and over again like we have because we've watched so many DV shows.
Yeah, so... So like for your boys, and for Kara, like this is the first time that they might be experiencing that sort of a suspenseful moment. And for them, you know, like all hope seems to be lost in that moment. It's like, oh no, what are they possibly going to do? And that's one of the things that I think makes Scrooge's actions in that moment so great. Because like we've talked about before, the key to a good DuckTales episode is that it has a certain morality at the core of it. And for this one, it was very much about a teacher learning that the purpose of being a teacher is for your students to exceed you, right? And Scrooge is obviously very jealous throughout the episode of Dewey's ability. And right here in the end, he realizes that Dewey's natural ability, his gift, is what can save them in that moment. And he puts aside his pride, which is very difficult for Scrooge's character, right? And he has just this great moment of real like mentorship, but he's also he becomes the student to a certain degree, and he kind of humbles himself to say, you know, you are better. You're the only one that can save us. And it makes the payoff of that moment so much better. If Scrooge had just hopped on top and then hit the golf ball and it had gone in the hole, that would have been great too. But without that, that sort of heart at the center of it, it would have been flat, right? It would have been like, okay, cool, yep, they saved the day. But instead, because we get this great through line and this great sort of lesson throughout it, that moment and Dewey's triumph and saving everybody is that much sweeter. It's that much better. So it is some really, really great storytelling, some really great writing.
Well, and even after Scrooge lets Dewey do his thing, the first thing Dewey does is try to remember what Scrooge was teaching him.
Yeah.
He's like, bend your knees, tuck your tail or whatever. And then he's like, oh no, remembers that Scrooge is wanting him to do it his way, and he just does it his way. Just whack the ball. So they're like, Dewey tried, like, he was paying attention.
Yeah.
To what Scrooge was saying. I think the biggest thing to take away here is that Scrooge is not the main character of this show.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were expecting that and have been disappointed that we haven't really seen a whole lot of Scrooge. But this show, the nephews are the main characters.
Yeah.
And so they are always going to upstage Scrooge in all of these episodes. That's just going to be the way it is.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they are ever present, right? We've gotten episodes without Scrooge. We've gotten episodes without Launchpad. But we haven't gotten a single episode without the triplets in it. At least one of them
is in every episode. Yeah.
So. Yeah, very much so. They are and I would include Webby as well. I think the four of them are the main characters.
Except Webby wasn't in the last episode.
That's true. But she's had episodes that have been solely focused on her, right? So
right, yeah. But the nephews are still there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, you know that the one where she's with Lena.
Yeah.
And the nephews are just take that side trip in the boat at the beginning of the episode. Yeah, they're really not in that episode at all.
It's very focused on Webby in that episode for sure. I think that's one of the things that differentiates this so much from the original is that the focus is on the kids and not on Scrooge, right? And I think that kind of allows for some really great storytelling and room for growth. And I think that that's kind of the important part is that when you're focused on Scrooge, then you focus more on the adventure. But when you're focused on the kids, I think then you get to focus a little bit more on the lessons and character development because these kids have a lot to learn. So within every episode, there's something to be learned. I think that it's a very smart decision for the long-term health of the series because it'll allow them to kind of keep building on that. I just hope that they kind of remember the lessons that they've taught so that we don't get inconsistencies with where they're at in their personalities. But it feels to me like they do pay attention to that. And that there is like a kind of evolution to the characters. Although watching the episodes out of order as we are, because they are not airing in the order that they were meant to, that they were written to air in. You have to kind of keep that in mind as well. But because there was a couple episodes early on in the season where it was kind of there were some weird questions. About like, wait, why would they? But didn't we already sort of deal with that? Here I'll give my last highlight for the episode, and it is just Glomgold all the way, just throughout the episode. I just like he's been funny in the past, but he is hilarious in this episode, and just completely bonkers and off the wall with the way that his character is portrayed this go around. And I love that competitive aspect of him and the fact that he's constantly cutting his nose off to spite his face. His bill off to spite his face. I really love the way that I never liked Glomgold in the original DuckTales. I always felt like I was always annoyed by his character.
Oh yeah.
But I love it when he shows up in this because he is just so bizarre. Thinking back a few episodes when he's got he and Scrooge are planning, they're trying to take out Mark Beeks, and he's got the whole plan, and then he's got the slides in the plan to double cross Scrooge, and it's like, why would you put those in the projector, in the slide projector for Scrooge to find? But he's just such a stupid character, and yet, Scrooge's greatest rival. And it's kind of the aspect of these characters in this episode, where they're both these obnoxious old men, there's kind of a very fine point on that part of the story that, like, neither one of them is really, and then Dewey is ultimately the one who saves them, because these old men are kind of too busy worrying about this competition to actually realize that maybe neither one of them is particularly good at golf. They're both kind of dummies in that respect. and here's Dewey, who's actually quite good and could have saved the day a lot faster, had they gotten out of his way, sort of thing. But Glomgold never even he kind of never really recognizes the situation that they're in, and is always just competing with Scrooge in this one. But also, like, that although he is cutthroat and a bad guy and certainly a mortal enemy, that Scrooge treats him like the dolt that he is, you know, like he doesn't take him seriously, and he's never really threatened by him to the point where, like, they just kind of sit across from each other, in the billionaires club, and have a not so friendly game of golf, right? Like, it's,
yeah.
I love the dynamic that they've created with these two characters, because Glomgold always felt like a real legitimate threat in the original series, and yet nothing was ever done about him. It's always seemed kind of like, you know, like, shouldn't he be in jail? And I know that he did end up in jail from time to time, but it just always felt like they never really took him seriously, even though he was a very serious threat. And then in this one, they've kind of flipped it, where it's like, they kind of deal with him, even though he's never a real threat. He's more of a threat to himself than he is to anybody else. I really, really enjoyed him in this episode.
Yeah, definitely a highlight. And yeah, every time he's appeared, it's been a highlight. And I will continue to be thrilled when we see him in future episodes. Yeah.
So before we get into our behind the scenes, I just have to note that the animation in this episode was very weird at times. Did you notice that like there was a lot of off model moments, and Glomgold especially, as much as I really enjoyed him, I feel like his proportions in this version of him, that his outfit, because it's a different outfit from what he usually wears, his proportions were off throughout the entire episode. But then there were inconsistencies within the episode of the way that he appeared. And I thought that was really interesting coming off of last week's episode that was so incredibly well animated, down to some really, really small details, like when Gyro is ringing out the blueprints, and just like the quality of the animation on some of those moments, and obviously Gizmoduck's transformation, all of the action sequences were incredible. And then in this episode, it's just... There's a few moments where I'm trying to remember. I think it was one of the moments with Huey and Launchpad, where Huey's face is just ridiculously off model, to the point where it doesn't even look like Huey. And it's like, it had to do with the eyes, and it was really weird. And it was one of those things where I think, like, the production timeline was probably, condensed at some point, and they just kind of went, okay, fine, whatever, and just kind of move forward with it. It's like, it always reminds me of back in the day you'd be watching something like something on Disney Afternoon, like a Darkwing Duck or whatever, and all of a sudden the inks are completely wrong. Like Darkwing's mask is the same color as, like, it's white like his face. Or, you know, like,
yeah, totally.
Part of him that is not supposed to be blue is painted blue. And it's just, it's one shot, and it's a half a second, and then it's gone. But it's there. And it just, I think that we're so spoiled by the quality. I won't even say quality. I'll say the consistency of animation in this era, because everything is so computer assisted that you look at some of these shows like Adventure Time or My Little Pony or Gravity Falls, or just all sorts of these 2D shows, and the consistency is like perfect, and that's because they're using computer assisted drawing programs to animate these characters. So the colors are always exactly on, and everything is there's a lot of recycled animation, but not recycled in the Scooby-Doo kind of way. They can reuse the same sort of thing over and over, and like the mouth movements and stuff like that are way better than they were back in the day, because of these technological advancements. So to see an episode that had as many inconsistencies as this one did, I thought it was really interesting. It just really felt to me like it didn't match the quality of the rest of the series so far. And it kind of, I found that it was a really noticeable dip. Am I alone on that, or did you notice, Curtis?
I did notice as well. I felt like there were a lot of things, like a lot of the overlapping action, like Scrooge's cheek feathers and the nephew's hair and that kind of stuff. I felt like that was just more obviously, and I don't know what program they animate in. I don't think it's not Flash, but it might be Harmony. But that kind of stuff was just more obvious, I think, this time around.
Yeah.
One comment on Glomgold, the inconsistencies with his proportions and stuff. I think that maybe that was on purpose, simply because he's doing things that he doesn't usually do, like play golf, and in order to make the shot just look right, he can't be as watermelon shape when he's like taking a shot or something like that. So I think they do play with his play with his sizes on purpose, to a certain extent. So this episode was animated by Toon City, and it'll be interesting to pay attention to see if you feel this way with other episodes that are animated by Toon City.
Yeah.
Last week's episode was Snipple, so we'll see if the good ones are Snipple and if the bad ones are Toon City. And I remember playing this game when I'd watch Animaniacs, because there were very, very obvious differences in quality and style between the animation studios on that show. Some of them were really, really good, like Wang and TMS, but then some of them were just awful. I can't remember the awful ones, but they're, yeah. So yeah, we should pay attention to see if there's some sort of consistency there.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Want to jump into the behind the scenes and Easter eggs and such?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that. So we have two characters in this show, the Kelpies.
Yeah.
And Kelpies, this whole episode is steeped in kind of Scottish mythology, with the runes and that transport them to this other dimension and stuff like that. But Kelpies are actual Scottish mythological creatures that are shapeshifters, and they often take the form of horses, which is what we see in this show, or ponies in this case. And then and the interesting thing I was reading up about them is sometimes when they turn back to humans, the the hoofs, they still have their cloven hoof feet. And because they are tempters and they try to lure you away through temptation and that kind of thing, that's where we get this picture of Satan or the devil, where he's like half human and has these cloven feet.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a weird kind of through line there. The interesting thing about this show here, and I love that they've done this, is that these ponies were voiced by Tara Strong and Andrea Libman, who are the voices of Twilight Sparkle and Pinkie Pie in My Little Pony.
Yep.
They actually got the same voice actors to do these ponies here. Now, the colors are flipped because Tara Strong was the pink one, Brer, and Andrea Libman was the purple one, Bramble, so their colors were flipped. But I just thought, what a great nod to that, the whole bronies that are probably watching this show too.
Yeah, I thought that was just so fantastic, the way that they did that. And I am not by any stretch of the imagination a brony. I recognize the quality of My Little Pony, but I am just not into the type of storytelling that they do on that show. I've watched a few episodes with Kara because she likes it from time to time, but even she's not really that interested in it. She'd rather watch.
Well, which episodes? Patrol, no, this is an entire different conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But my boys love the show.
Yeah,
and so I've seen pretty much every episode of My Little Pony, and the writing changes, as the second, the third, and fourth season go along, the writing gets more serious and for an older audience because they recognize what their audience has become, and they write to that. So
I'm certainly nowhere near any of that. I'm sure we're still very early in the first season, and it's a lot of like...
You can skip the first season.
In order to be a good friend, you have to listen, right? It's a lot of that sort of stuff. And it's like I say, I recognize the quality of the show. I think it's a very good show. It's just like, it's of very little interest to me, but I don't know. I'll take your word for it. Maybe we'll jump ahead to like season two or three and see what it's like, moving forward. But yeah. One of the other things is that like, I just, the voices are just so silly. High-pitched and kind of obnoxious, that for me it's like, I don't know that I could actually sit and watch this show.
It's not for everybody for sure, but I do enjoy it. I wouldn't call myself a brony at all, but there's good quality music. The songwriting is quite good. They've got some great guest stars. My favorite episode is the one where Weird Al is the guest star, of course.
Nice.
And then if you're a fan of Next Generation, John Delancey plays this character Discord, who is just a parody of Q from Next Generation, and it's just fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah. So lots of that kind of stuff. Anyway, we're getting way off topic. Let's get back to the behind-the-scenes stuff here. Here's a quick one. We see a tiger in this episode. We haven't seen a tiger in DuckTales, I think, yet, but this one's playing golf, and so obviously he's called in the episode the greatest golfer. He's Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a couple more things that I noticed here. In the comics, Scrooge is actually terrible at golf. He's not a good golfer.
Okay.
And and that's not just like a one-time thing. Like there's a constant kind of through line through a bunch of different stories that Scrooge just can't play golf. And I think they work that into the life and times of Scrooge McDuck story. That's kind of the end-all and be-all of Scrooge McDuck's life. The other thing, and I don't know if you remember this episode or not, in the original DuckTales, the two-part series finale is called The Golden Goose. And I've only seen that episode once when it was on TV back in 1991 or whenever it was, and it has not been released on DVD, but it had such an impact on me because I was the 10-year-old or the 9-year-old or whenever that was, watching that episode, and in that episode, at the climax of the movie, this golden goose has turned the entire planet gold, and Scrooge is racing to get this goose to sit back on top of its water fountain where it belongs, and when the goose gets back on top of the water fountain, things will stop turning to gold. And the gold is enveloping the world all up to where this fountain is, and like the launch pad's been turned to gold, the nephews have been turned to gold, and Scrooge is just reaching up to put this goose back onto the water, and he is being turned to gold as he's doing it, just like what happens with in this episode when everyone's being turned to stone. Mm-hmm. It was exactly the same thing, and I remember having those same feelings of like, oh my gosh, how are they going to get out of this? It was just fantastic. Awesome. So I don't know if this is an actual allusion to that Golden Goose episode, but I wouldn't be surprised if they took a few notes from that.
Totally. Yeah, I remember the episode that you're talking about as well. And yeah, now that you bring it up, it's you're right. It's very reminiscent with the sort of creeping, almost like it, the way that they animate it almost looks like water filling up sort of thing. Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Well, that's all the behind the scenes and Easter eggs that I can think of. I didn't really notice anything else that you didn't call out here. It's interesting with the Tiger Woods thing with the potential for tie-ins that we've got coming later in the season, establishing that there are other types of animals, yes, in this world, because we will
see a fox pretty soon.
Yeah. There might be a good call for a tiger character in the future, or maybe in a spinoff show. But yeah. We should check in with our junior woodchucks and see what they thought of this episode.
Yeah, let's see what they say.
Hello, this is the Cartoon Afternoon. This is the Junior Woodchuck Podcast, and we are here to give you the episode, The Missing Links of Morsure. So, this is going to be, like, the best one, I'm pretty sure. Because it's a mixture of My Little Pony and DuckTales.
My name is Milo.
My name is Peter. So, this DuckTales episode is really important. That's why we're talking like this. It makes everything seem really important. Baloney. Trampoline. Anyways, so... That's what Launchpad says at a part. So in the episode, they are talking about golf, and Webby has never done this sport. And Launchpad is filming, and also Huey is doing it too. So this episode is about mythical golf course. Okay, anyways, Milo, what are the two ponies' names?
You mean the ones that are like, that?
The pink one and the purple one.
Like, what their names are in My Little Pony?
Yeah.
Pinkie Pie and Twilight.
Yes. And what is their name in this? In DuckTales?
I have no idea.
Okay, great. What was your favorite part, Milo?
My favorite part was when Launchpad... No, when the two ponies said, man, these people aren't fun.
My favorite part was when Launchpad was like, I like talking like this because it makes everything seem really serious. Baloney. Trampoline. It's really funny, right?
What do you didn't like about it?
I disliked. Ached?
No, didn't like.
Disliked.
Didn't like.
You could say dislike too. I dislike the part when,
Scrooge?
No.
Scrooge?
No.
Dewey?
No. My least favorite part was when that, like, walking tree got mad at Glomgold. Okay, I'm signing out.
Signing out.
Bye. See you next Cartoon Afternoon. And what's up?
I like my arrows in the air sometimes.
That's awesome. So we're very used to hearing from the Junior Woodchucks, but we've actually got a voicemail coming in from one of our listeners, Jared Boyd. So Jared's got some stuff to say about both this episode, The Missing Links of Morshare, as well as Beware the Buddy System. So let's take a listen to what he says.
I am the terror that flaps in the night. I am the 25 and a half years it took your favorite cartoon character to be on TV again. I am so stoked about the latest two episodes of DuckTales 2017. What's up, Mike and Curtis? This is Jared again, and just wanted to call in and share my thoughts on Beware the Buddy System and The Missing Links of Morshire. Both these episodes, I'm just going to say it right now, have a full Lucky Dime rating. Yeah, Missing Links of Morshire, it's pretty entertaining. Appreciated the My Little Pony reference, and I also appreciated the fact that, you know, it was enough that if you're a fan of that franchise like me, you can enjoy it. But it wasn't so in your face that if you're not a fan of that franchise, that it distracts you from the actual episode of DuckTales. So, yeah, Missing Links of Morshire, pretty good. Nice to see some character development on Scrooge and, you know, just all around fun time. Quite enjoyed it. But Beware the Buddy System. I think this may be my favorite episode of DuckTales to date. There was just so much that was so amazing in it. That first minute or so with Darkwing Duck was just so amazing that I literally have gone to everybody who I could talk to about this, pretty much tried to quote word for word that whole first chunk of it and or showed them the actual episode clip. I even got my niece and nephews who have never even heard of Darkwing Duck before excited about seeing the episode. And then kind of just some fun facts for you guys. I know you talked about it in your Beware the Buddy System episode, but apparently, Tad Stones, the main guy behind Darkwing Duck, he was a big fan of Megavolt, but he found it hard to write for the Liquidator. Just had trouble casting him by himself. So that's kind of what the appearance stuff was that you guys were talking about in your episode of that. But yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts on the episodes. This is Jared signing off.
Thank you for the email, for the voicemail there, Jared. Of course, if you want to get in contact with us, you can do that really easily by sending us an email to tuneafternoon@gmail.com, just like Jared did. You don't have to send a voicemail. You can send a regular email as well. But
voicemails are really cool.
Voicemails,
and we'll actually play it in the episode.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Jared really liked the last two episodes, and you guys know that Curtis and I really enjoyed last week's episode. But let's see how this one stacks up in our Lucky Dime rating.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give this episode, I think, a 4.
Okay.
I quite enjoyed it. It wasn't as good as the last one, so I'm not going to give it 5. But it didn't bore me at all either. I was actually kind of refreshed. I wasn't sure what I was going to rate it when I was watching it. I thought I might give it lower, but I think I'm going to settle with 4 Lucky Dimes.
Yeah, you know, this is so tough because I really enjoyed the jokes. I laughed a lot in this episode, but obviously the adventure is a little bit more tame compared to some other ones. So when we were kind of looking at something that's kind of a good melding of the two, this one is... It's tough for me, but you know what? I'm going to give this one 45 cents. I really like this episode. And coming off of last week, I think that for this one to be as much fun as it was, for me to enjoy it as much as I did, I think that says a lot. So I'm gonna give it that 45 cents. It's almost as good as last week's episode.
I feel like the people were listening to the general public saying we need more action in this show,
mm-hmm.
and then they're like, you know what, we're gonna do an episode about golf,
you guys. Yeah, real action packed. yeah. But they did actually manage to make golf pretty fun. So.
They did.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I that's what we think, but where are we at with our episode ranking? How did Beware the Buddy System fare?
This was actually a very surprising and not surprising poll results. Beware the Buddy System swept the results with 63% of the votes going to that one episode. Thank you all for voting in, with whatever you voted. It was great to have you participating in it. But Spira Celine did 19%, and then Great Dime Chase and House of the Lucky Gander both got 9% each.
Interesting.
House of the Lucky Gander has been the top favorite for several weeks now.
Yeah.
And we're very surprised to see that one actually tie for last place.
Interesting.
So I made the executive decision that since these two tied for last place, we're not going to kick both of them out. I'm going to take whichever one was lower the previous week.
Okay.
Which is Great Dime Chase. That one's been hanging on by a thread for some time, so we're going to give that one the boot and put in this one here, Missing Links. And now there is an active Twitter poll currently running, and you can go and cast your vote to see which is your favorite now out of these four episodes: Beware the Buddy System, Spear of Celine, House of the Lucky Gander, and The Missing Links. The three most recent episodes are currently in here.
Hmm.
So this season's getting better as it goes along.
Yeah. Very interesting. Very, very interesting to see House of the Lucky Gander being the leader for so long. And then I think what you're seeing there is that a lot of the people who've been voting for Gander have switched over they're voting for Beware the Buddy System.
Exactly.
It lost a lot. It's really interesting to see how this works, right? Because this isn't like a standard ranking system. This is a weekly competition. And so, it's very fascinating to see what's going to end up in our top four by the end of the season. But I think Beware the Buddy System is going to hang on there. I think the only way that could get knocked out is if we had an episode with more Gizmo Duck or more Darkwing Duck. But I think the 1-2 punch of Darkwing and Gizmo in the same episode is going to keep that one high up for quite a while. That's hard to compete with. Very interesting. I love that we're doing this. This is one of my favorite parts of the show is looking at this. And
I've been giving this more thought. And when season two comes around, we're going to have two polls.
Okay.
One to rank the season two episodes, and then one to see how those episodes fit overall, the overall episodes. So we'll have two polls going at the same time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. The next episode, next week's episode, is Mick Mystery at McDuck Manor. Here's the
McDuck Mick Manor.
McDuck Mick Manor. Sorry, I missed a Mick. I Mick missed it. When Scrooge unexpectedly disappears during his birthday party, Huey, Dewey, and Louie find themselves hosting a mystery party where everyone is a suspect.
Really looking forward to this one.
I love murder mysteries. I love like the movie Clue. I love Clue, and I get from the screenshot that they've used to promote this episode, I get very, very heavy Clue vibes. So I'm really looking forward to this one as well.
Rewatch that movie before we watch this episode.
That might not be entirely necessary, but not a bad idea. Awesome. Well, that does it for this episode. So thank you guys for joining us. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you next afternoon.
Don't forget you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales, and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ToonAfternoon, as well as on Twitter at ToonAfternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at ToonAfternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KURTISFINDLAY.
And I'm on Twitter at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack and pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.